happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum, and for Lesbian Visibility Week, I am joined by...
Ann Northrup, lesbian. Yes, it is Lesbian Visibility Week, and I attended a reception at the beginning of the week with Maren Johns, who got me invited. It was run by the Curve crowd, the Curve Foundation, Curve Magazine, Franco Stevens, and her wife. And they had a panel discussion that, you know, usually I find those deadly dull and conventional and predictable. But they actually had some interesting women on the panel who I didn't know and was delighted to meet in that context.
So. Maybe we should have some of them on the show.
Someone other than us?
Sure.
There's a thought. Well, but you're stuck with us for this week.
So, and in the news this week, the United States Department of Education has issued new rules on protecting LGBTQ students, but they dodged the issue of trans participation in sports.
They say they're working on that.
Oh, they've been saying that for a while.
And we have a...
I will not expect anything before the election.
There's a thought. But we do have some... news from others in that realm.
Yes.
And I hesitate to even say this, it's so upsetting, but Melania Trump hosted a gay right-wing event, the Log Cabin Republicans, but isn't standing by her man in court.
No.
What are we to make of that?
In good news, we've got a breakthrough in Pennsylvania as an out LGBTQ candidate is nominated for a statewide office.
Very exciting. But we have an update on what's happening in Calexico, California, where a transgender council member and her progressive colleague have fallen from office in a recall by voters.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott wants to ban trans teachers entirely, which is against U.S. law.
Florida Governor DeSantis is letting Christian pastors be paid as school counselors. Are they being paid or are they volunteers?
You're right. There might be volunteers, but it's official.
It is definitely official, and only certain religious affiliations are allowed, not Satanists.
That will not pass constitutional muster.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania school board has banned from a famous gay speaker.
And police in Michigan have identified seven high school boys who perpetrated an anti-LGBTQ vicious attack.
The country of Dominica makes sodomy legal, and Iraq delays making LGBTQ people illegal.
Excellent. The UK is going to start shipping asylum seekers to the very anti-LGBTQ Rwanda.
The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, you remember that movie, is coming back with a sequel, and all hands are on deck.
30 years later, the old cast is back with some new additions. And Andy will review the musical on Broadway, The Outsiders, and Rachel McAdams in Mary Jane.
Okay.
I'm going to give you that as a revised version for your year work.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Shall we start with the Department of Education new rules?
Yes.
That's really the big news,
this
I guess.
This is the Biden administration's department. They announced new rules prohibiting sex discrimination under Title IX from 1972 that explicitly protects all students from discrimination, including survivors of sexual assault and those who identify as LGBTQ. And Education Secretary Miguel Cardona said the regulations build on the legacy of Title IX by clarifying that all of our nation's students can access schools that are safe, welcoming, and respect their rights.
Some of this was modeled by the Bostock decision, which deals with employment and has been extrapolated a little more widely, but this puts it in in an order,
And these regulations put in place now supersede rollbacks during the Trump administration under Education Secretary Betsy DeVos.
And they include in the definition of sex discrimination the use of sex stereotypes, discrimination on the basis of sex characteristics or sexual orientation, gender identity, pregnancy. They do not, as Andy said in the headlines, include any regulations on sports by trans athletes, but they are working on that. But already Louisiana is up in arms and is working with the Alliance Defending Freedom to sue on all of this.
But the regulations do require anti-bias and anti-bullying and harassment programs that ensure misgendering stops and cruelty versus LGBTQ students ends.
Well, I'd love to see them make progress on that. Louisiana is so...
It goes into effect August 1st.
Louisiana's objection is so disingenuous because they put out this press release saying, you know, this is horrible. We are not going to let trans athletes play sports. It doesn't have anything to do with sports, but they're going to, this is their line to politically try to score a victory, and they're going into court with the ADF.
Are we done with that?
Yes.
Well, also on the federal level, the U.S. Senate Finance Committee's Democratic majority issued a 10-page report calling out Republican attorneys general in Tennessee, Indiana, Missouri, and Texas for using abusive legal demands to collect the medical records of trans patients in pursuit of ideological and political goals.
They say these attorneys general are claiming that they need these records to investigate Medicaid fraud, which it could not be further from the truth. They're just trying to identify trans students or trans kids across the board.
And the committee report says that these investigations have worsened trans people's mental health, leading to suicide ideation, severe depression, and intense anxiety.
Well, of course. I mean, if you're constantly being pursued and are under attack, your mental health is not going to be in good shape.
By the way, Kent Paxton, the Attorney General of Texas, offered no pretext at all.
We just want to get them. Well, Governor Abbott is out to get all the trans teachers.
Yes. Well, I should add, though, hospitals in Missouri and Washington have refused to comply, but Tennessee's Vanderbilt University Medical Center did.
Handed the records right over. You want our records? Take them.
Okay.
But this thing about Medicaid fraud is an attempt to circumvent HIPAA regulations about handing over files.
Okay. All right. Also on the federal level, Trump called on his followers to demonstrate outside the courthouse, and only a handful showed up. I mean, he said...
Barely a handful.
He said there were thousands that wanted to come, but they couldn't. I walked in front of the courthouse myself the other day. There's no problem walking around there.
Well, I love the MSNBC coverage where they have a reporter down there. The streets are open. Cars are driving by. The sidewalks are open. And they say, you know, I don't know what he's talking about.
So they're not turning out for him, but Rise and Resist continues to be down there. And, of course, there they are with their big banner, No One Is Above the Law. This is not a LGBTQ-specific group, but a lot of our LGBTQ brothers and sisters are part of that group.
This picture made the New York Times without any identification of the group.
Yeah.
But we're not going to cater to their, you know, desire for publicity and identify them as Rise and Resist. We're just going to say nameless demonstrators are down there.
Right. And so,
hey.
Trump is also complaining that he can't campaign. But his wife, Melania, isn't picking up the slack, nor is she appearing in court, by the way. No Trump family member is standing by their man there in court. This is highly unusual in a criminal trial.
You'd think Tiffany, at least, would.
Please.
And Barron's going to go to NYU? That's the rumor. I can't believe that. Yeah. So Melania hosts a reception at Mar-a-Lago for the Log Cabin Republicans. Not the first time she has appeared at one of their events. However, the invitation and her speech, neither one of them said LGBTQ, gay, trans, lesbian, anything, nothing, never the words were spoken. It was all about, we must unite the country, not divide it, period.
It's all nonsense. It was hosted by Trump gay, Richard Grenell. The group doesn't have many members, but claimed to have raised $1 million at the event, charging people $50,000 apiece to come. They're promising to use the money to try to win gay votes in swing states. Grenell said, anyone telling you that you are oppressed in America or that you need special side agreements, whatever that means, because you're gay, is only seeking to control you.
He would know. This was supposed to be a big event, but it ended up being held in a side room off the main ballroom at Mar-a-Lago because there were weddings going on there. And the highest count anyone could get from pictures was 60 people and really probably less. And half of them were Mar-a-Lago staffers or Trump staffers.
Trans trader Caitlyn Jenner was there.
Yes. And so was Trump's lawyer, Alina Habab.
And failed U.S. Senate candidate Mehmet Oz.
Yes.
Dr. Oz.
Yeah.
All right. So Pennsylvania had its primary Tuesday. Biden got 93% in the Democratic primary. Trump got 83% in the Republican primary. And there were more than 46,000 more Democrats who turned out to vote. These are encouraging signs.
That's what I looked at, were the vote totals on each side of how many people showed up to vote and more Democrats.
It didn't happen in every state, but it happened in Pennsylvania, which is going to be important. Yep. But the big news there in Pennsylvania is out Malcolm Kenyatta won the Democratic primary to be the state auditor general, sort of the state comptroller. The first out statewide candidate in the history of Pennsylvania. He was the first out gay person of color when he was elected to the General Assembly in 2018. He ran for the U.S. Senate nomination in 2022, obviously lost to Fetterman. And he said he's running for auditor general because it's time for the underdog to be the watchdog.
And that's what auditor general is, watchdog of the state finances and agencies, the person who keeps an eye on everything and is supposed to keep everyone honest about.
Yes.
I look forward to what he uncovers. Okay. In Florida, Governor DeSantis has invited chaplains into the schools as volunteers.
It's true. I do have the word volunteer here. To counsel students in public and charter schools, he said, these are students who need some soul prep. He said excluding religious groups from the campus is discrimination, saying God has no place, and that's not what the Founding Fathers intended. Parents have to consent to the counseling by the chaplains. The bill required no special training for these people to come into the schools, so lots of Christian nationalists will be sure to volunteer. Maybe some Satanists will, too, and we'll see how that goes over, but
The Satanists are already asking to get into the schools and pointing out that they have been declared a religion officially by the courts.
And we should say that there was a group called Pastors for Florida's Children who opposed this bill.
Yeah.
But DeSantis says he's going to try to keep the Satanists out.
Well, it's just like in other places where they are trying to destroy the public school system. So they bring in religious figures. They take money away from public schools. They impose rules that constrict public education. Ryan Walters in Oklahoma, the superintendent or whatever his title is of education in the state, is holding another public meeting tomorrow night as we're taping, Thursday night. It's Wednesday here now. And he's going to get attacked again by the public for his corruption and mismanagement.
I think he had to cancel one of his engagements because there were so many people yelling at him.
Yes.
But that's kind of what he wants.
Well, he has some big money backers who really want him to destroy the public school system in Oklahoma, and he's marching forward on that.
And in that vein, Texas Governor Greg Abbott, he saw a picture of that male teacher, Rahmad Jakyati of Louisville, who wore a dress on Spirit Day, and he vowed he wants to end the presence of transgender and gender nonconforming teachers in his state, a promise that ought to run afoul of the Bostock decision that bans that specifically bans workplace discrimination versus LGBTQ people. The teacher was targeted by the anti-LGBTQ activist Chaya Raichik and was so hounded that he resigned. He didn't have to resign, but he said, I got to get out of here. Abbott said, this type of behavior is not okay, and we want to make sure we end it in Texas.
What a performance of imitated Greg Abbott. Wow. Well, he should probably be paying more attention to the charter school in Houston where an elementary art teacher, 54 years old guy, was arrested for soliciting sex from a 15-year-old boy. He says, the teacher claims, I wasn't doing anything. It was just a fantasy, this whole conversation. And he had a lot of child porn on his phone.
It's the porn on your computer or whatever, if it's child stuff, that will get you.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to prove sometimes that you actually had an encounter with the kid.
Yeah.
But they can, with the stuff on the computer, don't do it.
Confusion in Murrieta, California. California, where at first the school district there was ordered, they were ordered not to enforce their policy of outing trans students to parents. And they said, okay, you're ordering us not to do that? Fine, we won't do it. And then they changed their minds. And they said, no, we're going to be defiant. We're going to keep informing parents if their kids show up and want some different pronoun or name usage.
This is against California law.
Yes.
All right. Big story in Pennsylvania. The Cumberland Valley School District, they banned 30 Rock out actor Malik Pancholi from speaking at the school. One of the board members said, he labels himself an activist who is proud of his lifestyle, and I don't think that should be imposed on our students.
God.
I mean, like, these right-wingers aren't activists who are imposing on the students?
Just to be out is defined as activist and political and inappropriate.
The board is unanimously right-wing, full of activists who advocate traditional lifestyles.
Well, they elected a Moms for Liberty person as a member.
Who was concerned that Pancholi would discuss his children's books, which deal with being bullied as an LGBTQ character would be, mm-hmm. or his own experience with anti-bullying and empathy inclusion. These are just, you got to keep kids away from these things. So the leadership of the district, the people who run the schools, you know, not the board, they are very dismayed by this because they say many members of the school community share his sexual identity.
And the community is up in arms and putting together petitions to support his speaking in the school.
But Pancholi said, when I visit schools, my activism is to let all young people know that they're seen, to let them know that they matter. I wonder why a school board is so afraid of that.
Well, in DeWitt, Michigan, they're afraid of it, too. The principal of the Cheney Road Elementary School sent out a note to parents saying, we are offering an optional class, to students about explaining all this pronoun stuff and respect for each other and anti-bullying. And we're going to give this class. And it's going to be optional. None of your kids have to go. You can opt them out. And the parents said, no, we don't want our, some parents, a few parents said no. And
so what happened?
There were violent threats to staff members. And the principal said, to protect my staff, I am canceling the class.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how often you turn on Fox News just to see how they're handling an issue. I occasionally do.
Every once in a while I used to, but I
often,
can't take it anymore.
No matter what the big news of the day is, you know, the Trump trial or the war in the Middle East, they will often lead with this transgender stuff,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, just hammer it home. And it gets people all whipped up.
Well, that's the point.
Yes, of course.
That's what they're after. And what about what's going on in New York City with those community education council people?
Yeah, I mean, we have these local community education councils. They're elected by parents with kids in the schools. And the Manhattan Board, Liberal Manhattan, voted 8-3 to urge the school system to, you know, take another look at banning trans girls from girls' sports. And now, because of complaints against this Moms for Liberty member of the board, Maud Maron, the school system is conducting an investigation into her and another board member for things, terrible things that they've said about trans students. I mean, Maron, you know, has made lots of derogatory statements about the kids. She says, I've done nothing wrong, but, you know.
Well, there was a very moving essay by a mother in like an adjoining school district in Manhattan who wrote this essay saying, I have a trans child who's now like 8. We moved here from Florida to escape the horror of the administration coming down on trans kids. And I land in Manhattan. I think I'm going to be safe. And I turn around and there's this council condemning my kid.
So it's obvious that, you know, the Moms for Liberty were more motivated to run for the board and get in however they got in.
Yep.
But 8-3 in Manhattan. So I'm sure people will be paying attention the next time to the election. And that's happening all over the country.
Well, I hope so. I worry about it. Meanwhile, I'm just looking for other education and school news. And in Michigan, at Michigan State University, two gay black students were attacked, harassed, and beaten by 7 high school age kids at the university library, which is open to the public. Anybody can walk into the library. And the gay guys had been sort of hanging out on the front steps and then went into the library, and these kids followed them in and just assaulted them.
The out Michigan Attorney General, lesbian, because it's Lesbian Visibility Week, Dana Nessel, lamented they can't be charged with a hate crime because under Michigan law, sexual orientation and gender identity is not covered. The legislature is considering it. The lawmakers did pass a bill against institutional desecration, including on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity. So buildings are protected. People are not.
Do we have anything to say, by the way, as long as we're in a university, about the protests going on campuses across the country?
Yes. The right to protest is under assault at colleges and universities. University of Southern California canceled its valedictory speaker, Asna Tabassum, a first-generation Muslim student of South Asian descent, for pro-Palestinian posts. Protests ensued, and university said, okay, we're canceling her out of safety concerns. Now, this is a university that had Barack Obama and King Hussein as speakers, and they managed to keep them safe. But no, they were going to cancel it over this. But they've also canceled all guest speakers, including Billie Jean King. So she can't speak either. And the actor John Chu, who was a USC alumnus and star of Crazy Rich Asians.
Billie Jean King has a gig at another part of the school that she is still doing. But the Palestine, Israel, Gaza demonstrations going on they're so vivid and so upsetting because there's a very peaceful faction that's building these tent encampments on campuses and demanding that their schools divest their stock holdings in military companies.
And
that
come out for a ceasefire.
Yeah, and come out for a ceasefire. But you also have other factions that are virulently anti-Semitic and are being...
Yes.
Horrible about attacking Jewish students and Jews in general. And I talked to someone at Columbia yesterday and asked, you know, are these factions really separate? Is there a gray area? I know there are Jewish students in the tent encampments demanding the ceasefire and the divestment. And he said, yeah, there is a gray area. There, it's a little hard to separate them entirely. But for the most part, the ones on campus are peaceful and the ones just outside the campus gates are not. But you have all these arrests going on now. And NYU students getting arrested report tear gassing and attacks by cops with batons. And it just is exactly what the same NYPD force was doing to the peaceful marchers of the Queer Liberation March in the last few years, attacking with tear gas, hitting with batons, just charging into a peaceful situation and causing chaos and injuries. And it also, you know, takes me back to my college graduation in the spring of 1970, when more than 200 colleges were on strike over the Vietnam War, over the invasion of Laos and Cambodia by the U.S., and then the killings of students at Kent State by the National Guard. And I just look at all this and hear the echoes all over the place, and it's very upsetting.
Well, the whole world is upsetting at this point.
Yes.
I mean, there are wars all over the place. I mean, Darfur, the displacement of a million people, Myanmar, obviously Ukraine. I mean, it's on and on and on, the violence in the world. And, of course, the United States plays a role in some of it.
A lot of it. All right. Well, that's just a little sidebar.
Okay. Let's go back to California.
Okay.
Can we talk about Calexico?
Sure.
Well, 74% of voters voted April 16th to recall the trans city council member, Raul Urania, 73% to recall another outspoken progressive, council member Gilberto Manzanares. This Latin city of 38,000 rural, Urania said the recall is rooted in transphobia. Recall organizers, that's Urania in the middle and
Manzanares on the left.
On the left.
And a supporter, another council member or temporary mayor, Romo, on the right.
The recall organizers said it was about rising homelessness and a sputtering economy, which, of course, had been sputtering for, you know, a long time. Urania said, we're not going anywhere. We won't give up on social justice in the Imperial Valley. And Manzanares said the problems that, you know, that these problems long predated them. The campaign to do this, to recall them, cost the city $128,000, and turnout was 23%.
Well, look, we certainly believe that the transphobia played a big part, but the voters also said, yes, these problems have been there forever, but you promised to fix them, and you came in and you didn't do anything, and therefore we're recalling the guy in a dress.
Okay. Tell me about what's going on with Richie Torres.
Well, Richie Torres is a member of Congress, a former city council member in the Bronx here.
Out gay.
And a former guest on Gay USA. Anyway, he is a very strong supporter of Israel. And Mohammed Hadid, the father of the models Gigi Hadid and Bella Hadid, and a very rich developer in California.
Mr. Hadid there on the right, and Richie on the left.
Lost his mind over Richie Torres's support of Israel and started screaming about that. And then
in homophobic,
racist language.
Terms, yes.
Yes. And finally sort of semi-apologized, and Richie said, you know, you used racist, homophobic language. I'm not so crazy about accepting your apology.
Yes. Okay.
The daughters are supporting their father.
All right.
In case you were interested.
Well, let's take a little relief from that by going to Temecula, California, a hotbed of anti-LGBTQ activism. Where the former mayor, Jeff Comerchero, walked into a barbershop of non-binary E.J. Radford, and Jeff realized his own discomfort made him a bigot. We have a video report.
Sometimes you feel like a different person after getting a haircut.
There you go, okay.
But the unlikely bond built at this barbershop in Temecula changed the way E.J.'s client Jeff looks at the world.
So I said to myself, I would never let this person touch me.
Jeff Comerchero says that's when he realized he was a bigot, when he first saw E.J. Radford working at this hair salon in 2021. E.J. is non-binary. He has visible tattoos and piercings and a super endearing smile.
I was sitting home that night, and I was appalled at myself for what I was thinking, because I knew that that wasn't me.
What Jeff was, the former mayor of Temecula. He says he didn't learn a lot about queer people living in the conservative town.
How's Pat?
Good.
But EJ certainly did.
You see a lot of hate in the media and a lot of hate in from certain groups, you know, but at the end of the day, Temecula is filled with a lot of really cool people. So I think that's a big reason why I'm still here.
And that's why this young barber didn't judge a book by its cover.
For him to kind of open up to me and be like, hey, I'm not really educated on this, but I you're a cool person and I'd like to know more about you, you know. It was really nice and refreshing for me because especially in his age group, you know, I don't really get a whole lot of people genuinely curious and respectful about things, you know.
So it was through educating Jeff about gender identity and deconstructing his prejudice right here in this chair that he and EJ say they became good friends.
That's my boy right there. He has my back and I have his, that's for sure.
In fact, their story inspired them so much, they decided to write a book about it. It's called The Old Man and the Queer, the transformative story of a retired mayor and a barber who freed him from bigotry.
Gender identity or sexual identity, although important, they're really superficial in terms of relationships. And it's honestly changed my life.
Well, that's kind of one of the goals of the book, too, is to just show people that maybe have never met a queer or a trans person that, like, you know, we're just human beings just like the rest of you guys. So, yeah.
And the book these two co-wrote is now available online. And they've already done their first book signing together. I'm Nicole Comstock, KCAL News.
Heartwarming.
And also heartwarming is the change of heart by Diana Nyad, the champion swimmer, also an older person. I'm trying to build a theme here. So she had in the past been condemning of trans athletes, particularly trans women competing in sports. But she now says she regrets her past statements. And her membership in an anti-trans women athletes group that sprung up a few years ago. She says science is complex and smart scientists are working out rules of fair competition, but she is now firmly for inclusion. And, you know, the report we referenced a couple of weeks ago by the commissioned by the Olympic Committee has now been widely publicized, saying that, in fact, trans women are often at lesser advantage over cis women, that they have less competence in certain areas. So I think this is all evolving in very interesting ways. Sure, but yeah. Meanwhile, we're still getting...
Well, they're not evolving in Arizona. Republican legislators seem to be hell-bent on going to the fall election with the 1864 extreme anti-abortion law in place. I know they're going to revisit it again this week. Karen Royster, who's a Republican precinct committee member, said, I'm here to represent Jesus Christ.
Really?
Part of those
Does
filling,
Jesus have a vote in her election?
Part of those filling the gallery in the House with loud prayers. The Senate is poised to repeal it. Donald J. Trump wants them to. A new Democrat just got seated in the House on Tuesday, but Republicans maintain a 31-29 edge, and leadership is beholden to anti-abortion extremists. Voters will get a chance, the final say on this, in a referendum in November. But it goes into effect, I think, momentarily.
Yeah.
If they don't, you know.
Well, maybe we should look at Iowa, where all the anti-LGBTQ bills failed this session. That's a good victory. And in Montana, two trans women are suing for the right to change their gender identity on their birth certificates and driver's licenses. They have filed a class action suit represented by the ACLU. So,
yeah, our LGBTQ legal groups and the ACLU are just overwhelmed at this point with having to challenge all these things.
Well, they are, but how great that they're standing up all over the country. Every day I see stories of individuals who just have decided not to take it anymore and who are going to fight for their rights.
Yes, and this also includes gay and lesbian advocates and defenders, mm-hmm. Lambda Legal Defense, and mm-hmm. others.
But not George Santos. He's withdrawn from his race to return to the House of Representatives because he wasn't raising any money. And
correct.
That was really the whole reason he was running, was to try to make some money.
All right. Yeah. In Massachusetts, we've learned about the murder of Nevaeh River Goddard, 17, was a non-binary teen, had been listed by the Center for Missing and Exploited Children as missing at 15, but no gender indicated in April 2022. Massachusetts authorities showed up for a welfare check at the home of Shane Curry, 20, and wouldn't let him in.
For two hours. Wouldn't open the door for two hours.
Then they got in and found Goddard dead inside, stabbed with a sword. Curry charged with assault and battery. Additional charges, of course, likely. Curry confronted Goddard about cheating and addiction, told police bruising them wasn't working. Oh, bruising Goddard wasn't working, so stabbed several times.
Killed him. Oh, God. Or killed them, sorry.
But on the brighter side, the New York State budget finally passed, and it includes $4.25 million for the Lorena Borjas Transgender and Nonbinary Wellness and Equity Fund to support organizations serving those communities. That's an increase of about $1.4 million.
I see in your hometown, 86% of the survivors of clergy abuse have rejected a settlement offered by the Rockville Center diocese.
Well, my hometown, I should say, is Baldwin. But I'm
close by.
Right, next town.
Yeah.
But that is part of the Rockville Center diocese.
They offered $200 million, and the survivors said, no, there are too many of us, not enough.
Well,
there's a fight in the state over insurance companies not wanting to cover these settlements. And the survivors, the abuse survivors, are saying, that's bad because we're not going to get any money if the insurance companies are let off the hook.
Right. Okay. Shall we talk about somebody we lost this week?
Sure.
Well, long before there was Moms for Liberty, there was Concerned Women for America, founded in 1979 by Beverly LaHaye. We have a picture of her there with a friend of hers, Ronald Reagan, to fight Equal Rights Amendment and gay rights. She died April 14th at 94, predeceased by her husband, Christian Right pastor Tim LaHaye, who was also a best-selling author, as was she.
He wrote all those Left Behind books about, the resurrection.
But together, they wrote the Act of Marriage that included advice for Christian couples on sexual pleasure. But, of course, it was pleasure for me, according to them, and not for thee. she organized political support for right-wing Supreme Court nominees, including Robert Bork, who was rejected.
Thank God.
But she played a big role in stopping ratification of ERA, protested condom commercials on TV at the height of the AIDS crisis, pushed for military support for the Contras in Nicaragua. She reviled feminists like Betty Friedan, who, she said, did not speak for average, normal, traditional women. She held that in marriage, submission is God's design for women. She spread the lie that gay men were more likely to prey on children. Her work rolling back progressive reforms continues.
Those shibboleths have not disappeared.
Nope.
But she has.
Okay.
All right. Next Wednesday, May 1st, on ABC's 2020 program, that was my imitation of Barbara Walters, 2020. Robin Roberts will devote the hour to an interview with Brittany Griner on the occasion of the release of her autobiography, Coming Home, a reference, of course, to her imprisonment in Russia. They will also interview Brittany's wife and other people in her camp. An hour with Brittany Griner, who is also headed for the Olympics this summer, along with a number of other out female basketball players. I think the U.S. team is going to be a largely lesbian team. The big question is whether as far as we know, non-lesbian Caitlin Clark will be a member of that team.
Oh, right.
We don't know yet.
Okay.
Because she hasn't even, you know, played a pro game.
All right. International news?
Yes.
Well, in Russia, a government poetry prize has banned citizens who have changed their gender. The regional competition used to accept all applicants, regardless of citizenship, nationality, profession, or place of residence. Now it is dedicated to preserve the ideas of marriage, family, motherhood, fatherhood, and childhood.
Poetry contest.
That are traditional values for Russian society. I wonder what J.K. Rowling and Riley Gaines have to say about this.
I'm sure they're writing their poems as we speak. And in neighboring Belarus, they have new laws which say depictions of same-sex relationships, trans people, now defined as pornography, and you can end up in prison for 4 years under their Don't Say Gay bill.
Well, you know, it was not so long ago, even in England, you could, I mean, I'm talking about the 80s, where two men could kiss each other goodnight on the cheek and they could get arrested.
That was longer ago than you think.
But in Dominica, the Eastern Caribbean Supreme Court struck down the anti-sodomy law as unconstitutional after 14 years of advocacy from the LGBTQ group Miridom.
Congratulations. Now, this is not the Dominican Republic.
Right.
This is the little island of Dominica, which has a population of approximately 75,000, was a British colony until 1978.
And part of the effort was involved was the Eastern Caribbean HIV/AIDS project that spawned the LGBTQ activist groups. And activist Maurice Tomlinson was involved.
He's all over the Eastern Caribbean.
And,
Jamaican,
you know,
mostly.
So, all right.
All right. And we told you last week that Iraq was on the verge of passing its own Kill the Gays bill. But our President Biden got in the ear of the prime minister, evidently.
Well, that's Prime Minister Mohammed Shia al-Sudan. There he is. So they postponed it, but because they were having meetings and it was like embarrassing. I mean, they were being told by diplomats from three Western countries, don't do this. But it would be a catastrophe for bilateral business.
And in Monaco, a court there says that they cannot order the state to recognize same-sex marriages, specifically in this case, the marriage of a U.S. and Monaco citizen who were married in Michigan in 2019. This ruling overrules two lower courts which had legalized same-sex marriage or recognition of those performed elsewhere. The higher court that just issued this ruling denying that says the Catholic state religion forces us not to be able to mandate this. You can apply for a civil union.
A couple of UK stories. The House of Lords cleared the bill that lets the government ship off asylum seekers on one-way flights to Rwanda. It's called the Safety of Rwanda Bill.
Oh, God.
But Rwanda is very unsafe for LGBTQ asylum seekers and many others.
Yep.
The conservative government would rather pay dearly, millions of pounds, to send these asylum seekers to Rwanda than process them in Britain. The European Court of Human Rights could still block the scheme, and the Labour government has said, if we get in, we'll scrap it.
Well, it's really shameful that they're doing this at all.
And now Scotland and Wales have followed the lead of the NHS in England after the CAS review of transgender care for teens and are ending the prescription of puberty suppressing hormones.
But in Sweden, they have lowered the age to be able to declare a gender change from 18 to 16. And made it easier to make that change after a briefer consultation with a doctor or a psychologist.
Back to the UK. A top BBC News anchor, you probably would recognize Hugh Edwards from royal coverage especially, has resigned after 9 months after he became embroiled in a scandal over sexually explicit images that he had paid a male teenager for. The teen had worked with Edwards. He's now a man. And the teen's family says he used the money to fuel a crack cocaine addiction, but the teen himself says, oh, that's all rubbish. So that, anyway, he was resigned.
And back to Olympic news. Did you know that countries have cultural ambassadors to the Olympics?
No.
Me either. But Taiwan is sending a cultural ambassador to the Paris Olympics this summer, and it is the latest winner of RuPaul's Drag Race, Nymphia Wind, who is Taiwanese and just won RuPaul's Drag Race and has been named Taiwan's cultural ambassador to the Paris Olympics. Congratulations on both counts, Nymphia.
Is this unlikely to occur if the Republic of China takes over?
Well, keep your fingers crossed. It hasn't happened yet.
In AIDS news, the U.S. has a new AIDS czar. Francisco Ruiz has been appointed the next director of the White House Office of National AIDS Policy, succeeding Harold Phillips. Ruiz is from Chicago's West Side and the Cicero suburb, mostly Black and Latin communities that suffered from years of disinvestment before being pushed out by gentrification. He did the Peace Corps in Ecuador after college, master's in urban policy at the New School in New York. He joined NASTAD, the National Alliance of State and Territorial AIDS Directors, to work on health disparities.
He was at the CDC. He was at the National Latino AIDS Action Network. He is HIV positive. And
just 5 years ago, and he came out about that.
Yep.
And so his appointment is drawing wide praise.
Well, especially for that picture.
Put that picture back up.
Now, the New York Times put on the front page.
Oh, okay.
Whatever. The front page, the news that better AIDS drugs are expected in 5 to 10 years.
Yes.
This drives me crazy. First of all, because we're also celebrating the 40th anniversary of Margaret Heckler, Secretary of HHS, announcing the discovery of HIV.
We're celebrating that. We were going to have a vaccine in two years.
2 years, she promised. So now we're promised better AIDS drugs in 5 to 10 years. You don't have to take them as frequently. Take a pill once a month instead of daily.
But this is very important because, look, we have data from 2022. There are 39 million people living with HIV. 9 million were not receiving treatment, and 630,000 died of HIV.
Right.
Related illnesses that year. In the U.S., a third of those diagnosed with HIV are not keeping the virus in check. So these drugs are needed. Now, there is Carbinova, right? Two shots every month at a cost of $39,000 annually.
I think it's Cabenuva, but whatever.
Cabenuva, okay. But anyway, there is a long-acting drug.
I'm all for that. It just makes me nuts when they say 5 to 10 years from now, we will have this. Well, 5 to 10 years from now, and who knows? Anyway, yes, I'm all for it.
Okay.
Bring them on. 700 Grindr users are suing the company for revealing their HIV status.
In the U.K.,
okay.
They were giving it to the advertising companies. Grindr was fined $6 million in Norway in 2021 for data privacy breaches.
Data privacy is a real issue in just about every company.
Okay.
This Sunday on MSNBC at 9 p.m., the documentary Commitment to Life, which came out last year, I think. You can also find it on Peacock. It's made by our pal Jeffrey Schwartz, who's made so many wonderful documentaries. It's about the early days of the AIDS epidemic, but available on MSNBC for those of you who don't have Peacock, 9 p.m. Sunday, Commitment to Life.
Okay. I have a correction in entertainment news from last week. I mispronounced the Olivier Award-winning actor. He's Mark Gatiss, not Gattis. He's out gay, and I thank store viewer Andrew for that correction.
All right. Other entertainment news.
Well,
we're very happy that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has decided to induct Big Mama Thornton, who was the original singer of Hound Dog, didn't get any of the money from it. That all went to Elvis, who did it after her.
She was known for her gender-expansive style and unwillingness to conform to gender norms. Often, you'll see there in that picture, preferring to wear a suit jacket, tie, and cowboy boots. Refused to wear dresses later in life, but despite coming from a hardcore Christian background, did not publicly identify as LGBTQ, but critics and academics have written her about her as queer. Poet Pam Snead, our pal from Hedrick Martin, said, "I think women like her gave me the permission I needed to exist."
Sure. And she also wrote the song Ball and Chain, which was then made phenomenally famous by Janis Joplin. Also, you know, Janis got the profits from that, not Big Mama Thornton.
All right. There's a new musical of The Outsiders based on the beloved 1967 novel that Susie Hinton, wrote when she was 19. Also a Francis Ford Coppola movie that made stars out of its young cast, Tom Cruise, Matt Dillon, Diane Lane, etc. This one's got a book by Adam Rapp and Justin Levine with music and lyrics by Levine and Jamestown Revival. So Outsiders is the greasers versus the socias. There's no gay angle, just a lot of male bonding. The ensemble is very engaging, if a bit old to be playing teens as young as 14. I mean, the lead is got to be 25. He's playing a 14-year-old. I don't know why they do this on Broadway. But kudos to the show for giving 15 young performers their Broadway debuts. Did I love it? No, but it does have a lot of heart.
Well, the antithesis was evidently Coachella, which someone described as really just a lesbian pride parade this year. Renee Rapp, Chappelle Roan, I hope I'm getting that right, maybe it's Chapel Roan, Victoria Monet, Young Miko, Tinashe, whatever, Ludmilla from Brazil, Brittany Howard, Billie Eilish, who had an intro by Beyonce.
It's Lesbian Visibility Week.
Kissing, singing, rapping, the L Word cast was there. They were all over Coachella.
And
Bluey. I have to start watching Bluey. It's this kid's cartoon show from Australia, but evidently extremely funny and sophisticated. And in season three, now running, Bluey's a dog, if I'm correct, and his friend Pretzel, who is a chihuahua, makes a reference to his two mums. And Australian right-wingers are up in arms about this.
Good. Don't they know it's Lesbian Visibility Week?
Exactly.
Right. Also with a lot of heart at the Manhattan Theater Club is Amy Herzog's play, Mary Jane, starring Rachel McAdams as the mom of a profoundly disabled toddler who we never see in the play. She's been abandoned by her husband and alone with her son, Alex. The play consists of her interactions with her super, her kid's nurse, other mothers dealing with children with profound disabilities, a hospital chaplain, all women. Everybody's a woman except for the kid. McAdams keeps Mary Jane relentlessly chipper while we may be tempted to look away. It's tough stuff. But the play gives us the chance to walk in her shoes, if only for 90 minutes. So I'd say that's time well spent.
And not to be confused with Oh, Mary, my favorite production of the season, which is comedian Cole Escola, who plays Mary Lincoln and has been a huge, huge hit off Broadway and has just announced that, yes, it is moving to Broadway at the end of June. Get your tickets now because it's going to sell out there, too.
Right.
It's very amusing.
And 10 playwrights are going to offer royalty-free queer-themed short plays, Say Gay Plays, for a benefit reading on Monday, May 13th at NYU Skirball. This is going to be a benefit for New Alternatives for Homeless LGBTQ Youth. I should say that I'm on the board there. But it's May 13th at 7 o'clock at NYU, and I'll put this in the email.
And so one of the playwrights is Doug Wright.
Oh, yeah, a lot of prominent playwrights.
Yeah. And almost unbelievable, they are finally doing a sequel to the great movie The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. I love that movie. It's very funny. Australian. And the original stars are going to be in the sequel.
Hugo Weaving. Terrence Stamp, who's in his 80s now, and Guy Pearce.
And the same director, Stephen Elliott. There will be new, younger people in it, but I'll never forget that dress made out of American Express cards.
Oh, right.
The gold cards.
And flying on top of the bus.
Oh, God, yes. You know. Well, that's Priscilla was the bus.
Yeah.
So look forward to that coming our way. In June on Netflix, a documentary, Outstanding, a Comedy Revolution, which is a history of queer comedy and all the comics you know from forever. And congratulations to Jodie Foster. I don't really pay attention usually to these people who get their names, feet, handprints in the sidewalk in Hollywood in front of the Chinese Theater, which is now no longer Grauman's, but is something else. Turner Classic Movies, I think, has it. But she had a ceremony there, thanked her wife for being willing to ignore their 10th anniversary, which was that day. Jamie Lee Curtis showed up to support her and introduce her. And there is video of Jodie being interviewed by, you know, an entertainment reporter. And she's so open and so fun and so revealing. We can't show Entertainment Tonight video here because of rights issues, but we're going to link to it in our show notes. So if you go to our website at
GayUSATV.org, you say you want to sign up. They send you an email, say, do you really want to sign up? And then you answer them back, and then you're on the email list, along with 3,800 other people.
For one email a week, we promise not to flood you. And you get all sorts of extras, like this really charming interview with Jodie Foster.
That would be great.
Yeah, I was impressed.
Yeah.
Because it's Lesbian Visibility Week.
You know, she keeps popping up on my Instagram feed speaking French.
Well.
She speaks perfect French.
She does. And studied it at Yale, I think, and may have, I think, lived there for a while. But she's come a long way, and she has, since being the target of John Hinckley, which would be enough to make anyone go into a cave and never come out again, she has slowly become more open and trusting in the world.
Then a target by people who said, when are you going to come out?
Well, she made that very brave speech at the Golden Globes that was clearly very difficult for her to do, but she managed to do it, and very impressive.
Now she's cool.
She's totally cool and cute. Too young and married. But happy Lesbian Visibility Week to everybody. I hope you're finding a lovely way to celebrate. And I'll be gone for the next 2 weeks, but Maren Johns will be here with you next week, and then Rob Shooter the week after that.
We will miss you.
Well, I wish I could say I'll miss you, but I will be back.
It'll be nice to get away from some of this stuff.
It will.
For a couple of weeks.
Right, and then I'll be back.
I'll hold down before
that. Yes, have a good time. See you with him next week.
Bye.